Welcome to the Radio Detective Story Hour podcast. You can find all of my podcasts since 2005 on the website, and while there, leave a comment at rdsh.otr.com, or you can send me an email to otrpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to send me a tweet, my Twitter account is @radiodetective. One theme in detective and police thrillers in entertainment media has been the so-called cop noir. These are usually dark thrillers in which the police figure prominently in the story, for better or worse. There are many fiction writers out there today who have their cop heroes who seem to live perpetually in a world of misery and desperation. Several come to mind, including Dennis Lehane, Joseph McNamara, and most poignantly, James Ellroy. Also in films, from the new Fox series Gotham to the classic The Third Voice from 1960, starring Edmund O'Brien. But long before these, there were a number of classic mystery writers who were writing noirish tales about corrupt police or police trapped in a noir world surrounding them. One of the most prominent was Cornell Woolrich. I've spoken here often about Woolrich, and hopefully my mentioning him here again will give you an idea of the depth of his contribution to the genre. Woolrich's worldview of crime and cops was a somewhat stilted one, as he pretty much spent his life living with his mother in a New York City apartment in a somewhat upper-class lifestyle. Yet, apparently his psyche harbored enough darkness to allow him to create some very good and sometimes not so good fiction about the human condition. His view of the police was often along the lines of how James Ellroy portrayed cops in his L.A. Quartet books. If you haven't read his books but saw the film L.A. Confidential, you'll get a view of the corruption he depicts in the 1950s and 60s Los Angeles police force. At the same time, Woolrich sometimes portrayed the police in more positive situations, such as the male hero in Dime a Dance, also known as The Dancing Lady. One story of Woolrich's, written under the pseudonym of William Irish, was picked up by radio and later television several times and is the story you'll hear dramatized here. It was called You Take Ballistics and was adapted for suspense quite well by Robert L. Richards, whose mystery chops for good radio scripts is well known among fans of old-time radio mystery stories. The story involves, on its surface, a smart cop who is able to outwit an equally smart criminal in solving a murder. It is less of a build-up in suspense and more of an exercise in a duel of wits. But underneath this is the Woolrich genius, and we see a story of, at times, police brutality, shadowing a criminal, and applied psychology, all told from a logical, straightforward point of view by a rather old-fashioned police inspector. Despite Woolrich's normal existential pessimism, this story ends on a positive note. The twist in the story, if there is one, is that the police inspector, who lives by old-fashioned detective work, solves the crime through the use of ballistics technology. Despite that, at the end of the play, he says to his boss, "You take ballistics, I take human nature." Therein lies the gist of this story. I mentioned previously Woolrich's attitude toward police. The fictionalized version of this tale is much more brutal than depicted in the radio version. The beatings given the criminal are much more in a world without Miranda and civil rights for all. This suspense version stars Howard Da Silva as the cold and precise Inspector Harvey, and in a performance reminiscent of his Pete Kelly and Pat Novak Gone Bad roles, Jack Webb appears as the criminal. This Robert L. Richards script was good enough to get additional traction when it was also readapted, though almost word for word, for the audition of a series called The Hunter. The series never saw the light of day, though it was reworked into a radio series called Pursuit. You can find the radio play The Hunter if you look for it on the internet. So here now is You Take Ballistics from a story by Cornell Woolrich and adapted for the radio series by Robert L. Richards for the March 13, 1947 episode on Suspense.
Yes, Roma wines taste better because only Roma selects from the world's greatest wine reserves for your pleasure. And now, Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, Roma Wines present Suspense.
Tonight, Roma Wines bring you Mr. Howard Da Silva in You Take Ballistics, a suspense play produced, edited, and directed for Roma Wines by William Spear.
Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills, is presented for your enjoyment by Roma Wines. That's R-O-M-A, Roma Wines. Those better-tasting California wines enjoyed by more Americans than any other wine. For friendly entertaining, for delightful dining. Yes, right now a glassful would be very pleasant, as Roma Wines bring you
Howard Da Silva as Homicide Lieutenant Ed Harvey in You Take Ballistics, Cornell Woolrich's remarkable study of the police mind at work, which is tonight's tale of Suspense.
By this time it was night, pretty late. I walked down toward the apartment on the opposite side of the street like I had a dozen times before that day. This time I had to count the doorways. I knew Cass was on the 10th one down from the corner. I knew he was there, but I knew I'd never see him. It was too dark. Cass was a lot too smart.
Hi, Lieutenant.
He made any moves yet?
Not a move.
How about the back way?
No. Peters is covering that. He'd leave us, no. Anyway, you know he's still up there. Every little while, you can see his shadow against the shade. There, see?
Huh.
Hey, look.
You got a match?
Sure, here. Hey, Lieutenant, did you get any orders, or did we just stick around? Myself, I think he's settling down for the night.
No. Mm-mm. This isn't getting us anyplace. I'm going to make the pinch. Now, come on up with me, see what we got.
Sure. Boy, that's good to stretch. My gams were killing me.
Yeah, I know. I done plenty of stakeouts myself. Anyway, it was warm tonight. That's a help.
Yeah, that's always a help. Hey, you know what I think, Lieutenant?
What?
I think that guy's waiting for something.
Or someone.
Like who?
Us.
He's wise, huh?
Smart, pretty smart. I don't like it. Mm.
Yes, sir, gents.
Coleman, Clarence Coleman, take us up.
Yes, sir.
I need a shave.
Huh? Nah, you don't look bad.
How long has he been living here? You, how long has Coleman been living here?
Huh? Oh, Mr. Coleman? Two or 3 years. Second door
to your...
We
know the way. What a dump, huh?
Yeah. Hey,
No.
Lieutenant,
no,
you
no.
think I...
No. No gun. He won't give us any trouble. He's too smart. Your name, Coleman?
Yeah.
We're from headquarters.
Okay. You want to come in or you just want to talk to me where you are?
We want to talk to you downtown, but first we want to come in.
Come on in. Nobody's stopping.
Look around, Cat.
Yeah. Suppose you guys got a search warrant.
I suppose you got a witness that we don't.
Go ahead, look. I just want you to know I'm not dumb, that's all.
Sure, I know. You're smart.
I was doing a crossword puzzle. You don't mind, do you?
Well, go right ahead.
I want to get that one down before I forgot.
Cash, you find it?
No.
Do you own a gun?
Why, sure.
Where is it?
Tell them to look in the bottom drawer of the bureau, and they're under my winter underwear.
Did you hear that, Cass?
Yeah.
I got a license for it, too.
You fired it lately?
Yeah, sure thing.
I got it. Here she is, Lieutenant.
Look out, you don't rub off any prints.
I told you we're smart.
Maybe too smart.
38, one shell gun. When'd you fire it last?
Right last night. Why should I lie to you? You're going to give me the nitrate test as soon as you get me downtown anyway.
Right last night, huh? Right into Edmund Lombard's body?
Wrong. Into the floor. Here.
You got all the answers, haven't you?
Only know what I know. Can't do better than that for my own brother.
If you fired it into the floor, where's the crease?
See that little scatter rug?
Uh-huh.
Just kick it aside.
Uh-huh.
See it? I can do better than a crease. If you dig in with your penknife, you can probably get the slug.
Well, let's have a look.
Hey, what are you doing that for, Cass? This guy's just making a chump out of you.
Maybe, but we better have the slug just the same, Lieutenant.
All right. You, take your hands out of your pockets and get your favorite hat and stop moving toward the door. You're coming with us.
There we are.
Okay by me.
You get it?
Yeah, it's a 38, all right.
Am I under arrest?
Well, if you got to have a name for it, no, not yet. You're just a guest of the department for the rest of the night.
You get the works, I suppose.
Cass, take him down the stairs, will you? I want to talk to this kid on the elevator for a minute.
All right.
Hey, wait a second. You got any more of that gum?
Yeah, here. Sure, Lieutenant. There you are. Come on, you.
All right. Come on. Let me go down
here. Yes, sir.
Got a match?
Oh, sure. I have.
A gun go off anywhere in this building last night?
Sure. His did.
Who's Coleman?
Yeah. The people downstairs telephoned me, so I had to go up there. He fired into the floor by mistake. He was plenty scared. Hey, he in trouble?
Nothing serious. Just a little thing called murder.
For Suspense, Roma Wines are bringing you Howard Da Silva in You Take Ballistics. Roma Wines' presentation tonight in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Between the acts of Suspense, this is Truman Bradley for Roma Wines. Next time you buy wine, remember this. For entertaining, for everyday pleasure, more Americans enjoy Roma than any other wine. That's because Roma wine tastes better, yet costs so little. Yes, in Roma wine you enjoy an important difference, an extra goodness in fuller bouquet, richer body, and better taste. To bring you this difference, this better taste, Roma starts with California's choicest grapes, then Roma Master Vintners, with America's finest winemaking resources, guide this grape treasure unhurriedly to tempting taste perfection. Later, along with Roma wines of years before, these choice cuvées await selection from the world's greatest reserves of fine wines for your pleasure. Tomorrow, enjoy the better taste of Roma California wines. Whether you prefer sherry or port, muscatel or tokay, insist on Roma wines, your best buy in good taste. Remember, R-O-M-A, Roma, the greatest name in wine.
And now Roma Wines bring back to our Hollywood soundstage Howard Da Silva as Homicide Lieutenant Ed Harvey in You Take Ballistics, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
I've been on the force for quite a while, and I've made my shares of arrests, big and small. Little punks and chiselers and big-time racket men and crazy, wild-eyed killers. I never made a pinch that looked better and that I liked less than this Coleman. We had everything. We had to make the pinch. Yet I knew it was going to turn sour the minute I walked into that apartment. And a sour murder rap is something, well, I personally don't care for. We didn't take him downtown. We took him over to a little precinct house up on the west side. And we didn't book him. We just tossed him in the back room and let him wait. Leffinger, my boss, got there about 10 minutes later.
Did you bring him in?
Yes, sir, he's in back. Here's his gun. He claims it went off into the floor last night by mistake.
Oh, beat us to the paraffin test, huh? Well, he could have framed it that way after he killed Lombard.
Yeah, he could have.
Here's a slug, Captain.
38.
Yeah.
Turn the stuff over to ballistics.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Cass.
Huh?
Give me a light, will you?
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Any report on the one they dug out of Lombard?
Probably on its way now. Who are these two guys?
The night elevator man that took them up to Lombard's apartment and the night counter man at the lunchroom about a half a block away.
They recognize him?
Positive.
Well, let's go to work. Sergeant.
Yes, sir?
We'll want to spring these witnesses on them. One buzz, send in the elevator man. Two buzz of the other guy.
Okay, Captain.
You think he'll sweat?
You?
No. Hi, Coleman. Sit over there.
Sure.
Put the light on him, O'Farrell.
Yes, sir.
All right, Coleman. Suppose you tell us what you did last night.
Beginning when?
Beginning when you left your apartment.
Well, I went out about 9 o'clock. Walked over to 23rd and 7th. There's a cigar store there. I made a phone call.
Who to?
Edmund Lombard.
Oh, so you did contact Lombard?
Sure. Did I say different?
Go ahead.
You know Lombard's racket?
You tell us.
Collected bets on the nags. Only the long shots he wouldn't turn in. They never came in anyway. So who knows the difference? Only this one time, I get a tip on one that comes in. 20-1. Lombard can't cover. He lambs. I just catch up with him last night. On the phone, I tell him I want my dough. I tell him to meet me in an hour.
Did he meet you?
I didn't give him a chance. I went up to his place.
You went up to his place?
Sure. No percentage for me to lie. I know you got me placed up there.
So you went up to his place?
Yeah. He was already packing, getting ready to lamb again. He kind of laughed and said, you can't blame a guy for trying. I said, I want my $2,000. Okay, he said. You win. He asked me for a receipt so I can't come at him again. Fair enough. So I write one out for him on the hotel stationery.
Well, wind it up. Let's see how good you can make it.
That's all. So he begins unpacking. He figures he might just as well stay where he is now. And I leave.
So that's how it was. Sure you didn't leave out anything?
No.
Why'd you leave out about killing him?
Because it belongs out, because I didn't.
You didn't have a gun on you when you went up there.
Oh, yeah. Sure I did.
Why'd you take a gun if you didn't plan to shoot him?
So he wouldn't pull one on me. You think a guy like Eddie Lombard's going to cough up $2,000 just like that?
Don't lie to us. When we bring you in here, we want the truth. You shot him first and collected your dough afterwards.
No.
And then you wrote out your receipt to a dead man.
No.
That's how it happened, isn't it?
No.
Answer me, isn't it?
No. No.
Cass.
Yeah, Captain.
Never mind those witnesses. He spiked them for us. Come on in here and give us a hand.
Sure.
Okay, bring him out of here.
All right, come on. Come on, come on, will you? Get up there. Why don't we give you something to pass out about?
Now, why'd you tell him? You listening? Why'd you tell the night man that Lombard was staying and not to bother about his luggage?
Because I was afraid he'd go up there and Lombard might think it was me again and take a shot at him.
Because he was dead in there and you wanted to get clear of the building before he was found.
If I did, I didn't go very far. I stayed in the coffee shop down the block for 15 or 20 minutes afterwards.
Look, what'd you do with the money you took off him after you killed him?
The dough he gave me. Put it in the bank first thing this morning.
Take over, Cass.
All right.
Come on, Harvey.
No, no. Wait till I wash my hands. You know, I need a shave.
All right.
Come on, come on.
See you later, Cass.
Yeah, Lieutenant. All right, Coleman, come on now. Why don't you...
You know, if I'd hang around there much longer, I'd be liable to hurt him.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. How come nobody heard this shot?
People next door were out, and down below they were asleep.
You know, I don't like it. You notice how he beats us to the punch every time. We got witnesses for everything, except the killer.
Which all adds up, but we got nothing but circumstantial. Wouldn't stand up in court 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, maybe ballistics will tie it up for us.
Yeah, maybe.
What's the matter? Don't you believe in ballistics?
Sure, but you heard the guy. He's got every other angle covered. Not going to slip up on anything as obvious as ballistics.
Don't you think he's guilty?
I think he's guilty. I went back up to Coleman's apartment. I hate this part of any job. There's always the off chance that it may turn up something, so it has to be done. But 9 times out of 10, it doesn't get you a thing. Didn't this time either. It's a lot of junk. In the living room, items, crossword puzzle he'd been working on, the pencil stub, the butt of the cigarette he'd been smoking, and the package it came out of. The bathroom, items, usual assorted stuff in the medicine cabinet, and 15 rusty razor blades under the bathtub. Kitchen, items, 3 empty beer bottles and some very lively cockroaches of assorted sizes. The bedroom, items, a bureau full of linen and 3 suits in the closet. One of them was the gray number he'd been wearing the night he called on Lombard. There was nothing in the pockets but a Canadian dime, a faded snapshot of a faded blonde, and a book of cigarette papers. I put the stuff from his pockets in a regulation brown envelope for no very good reason. Went back to the precinct. Effinger was still there, biting his nails.
Heard you get anything?
If I did, I don't know it. How's he doing?
How's he doing? How are we doing? Lousy.
Yeah, so far.
You're still sure of him, huh?
I was never sure of a pinch in my life.
Listen, I'm going to let it go through on circumstantial. Ballistics will be sure to match his gun to the slug that killed Lombard, and that's enough to do it without anything else.
I don't know.
Say, what are you driving?
Yeah? Yeah, this is Leffinger. Well, it's about time. Well, you knew where to reach me. I told you I was going to bring him out here. Yeah. What? Yeah. Okay. Ballistics. Coleman's gun was a .38.
I know that.
Oh, you know that. Well, then maybe you know that the slug they took out of Lombard is a .32. So now what do you know?
That does it.
Yeah. It does it, all right.
No, I don't mean that. I mean he's our meat. He's the guy. You can't tell me different.
I'm not telling you different, but ballistics is. And ballistics don't lie. You setting yourself up above ballistics?
You take ballistics, I'll take human nature. That don't lie either.
If you mean he did it with a .32 and then ditched it, you're wrong, because we checked all
that. I know. I know he didn't. Otherwise, he wouldn't have shot that slug into the floor.
But the slug in the floor was a .38.
Listen, Cap, I've called on aldermen, yeah, and state representatives, and... But even they get a little scared when you say headquarters. But not this guy. He was waiting for us. He was calm. He was doing crossword puzzles. He was too calm. No, he's too smart. He's got everything covered. He's been ahead of us all the way. He's our guy, I tell you. He's our guy.
He's our guy. He's our guy. Well, go on out and prove it, then.
All right, don't take it out on me, Cap. I feel as bad about it as you do.
Yeah, well, you're the guy with all the big ideas. Go out and do something about it.
All right, how long will you give me?
Tomorrow morning. You can't hold him forever without booking him, you know.
Tomorrow morning, what am I going to do at this time? Look, make it known, huh? give me a chance, anyhow.
All right. Noon. And I'm stretching it for you.
Yeah, thanks, Cap.
Listen, wait a minute. You're not holding out on me, are you?
I wish I was. I don't know a thing more than you do, Cap. I just know it's got to be our way, that's all.
Yeah, got to be.
Hey, I think I'll take another look at him before I go.
Oh, now listen, Coleman. We know you did it. Why don't you make it easy for yourself?
Make it easy for you coppers, you mean? I know you guys. Anything for a pinch. What do you care if you got the wrong guy?
All right.
Okay, Cass. You can lay off.
You got something?
Yeah, the slug that killed Lombard was a .32. His gun is a .38.
Huh? Uh-uh.
All right, throw him in a cell. We'll probably have to turn him loose in the morning.
Morning? What's the matter with tonight?
What's the matter? Don't you like it here?
All right. But you'll have a sweet case of false arrest on your hands by morning. Remember that, copper, when you're back pounding a beat.
Oh, I won't forget. You're smart. Got a match? Go on, have a cigarette.
I got my own.
Go ahead, have one.
I wouldn't take a smoke from a copper if it was the last one before I die.
You may have a chance to prove that someday.
Yeah?
Yeah. When you go to the electric chair. Well, that sounded good, but I wasn't too sure. You know, they say every criminal makes at least one mistake. Well, I wasn't too sure of that either. All I was sure of was that he'd done it, so there had to be some way to prove it. But first, I went back to his apartment. I went over the joint with a fine-tooth comb. Nothing. Then I thought of that suit in the closet. I got it out, I went over it inch by inch. Turned the pockets inside out. Right there was where I found something that gave me an idea, or rather, it was what I didn't find that I should have. I went out to Coleman's kitchen and made a pot of black coffee, and I sat down to think. And the more I thought, the better I liked it. It might not mean a thing, it might not even be possible, but it was all I had, so... So the next stop was headquarters and the pistol range in the basement. By the time I got through, it was daylight. At 6:45, I was waiting outside that cigar store at 23rd and 7th where Coleman had made his phone call to Lombard. It was run by a little guy named Truhoff. We questioned him before, but this was different. The story wasn't open yet, but finally, after what seemed at least an hour and a half, I saw him. I saw Truhoff come puffing down the street.
Well, well, Lieutenant. You're the real early bird, huh?
You're late.
Late, he says. What time you want a cigar store should open? The middle of the night.
Come on, huh? Come on, let's go inside. I want to ask you a couple of things.
More questions. Didn't you ask me already everything but my grandmother's middle name?
Yeah, I forgot that. That's why I came back.
All right. So now what?
About this Coleman. When he was in here...
Sure. He telephoned from the booth back there. How can I hear what he says from way up here?
I don't care about that now. He used to buy smokes from you, though, you said.
That's right. Every day, almost.
Any particular brand?
Sure, always the same for 2 years. These, here.
Always machine-made cigarettes?
Always? Why not?
What did he buy from you the night he was in here phoning?
The same? Why not?
You're sure he didn't buy these?
Wait. Yes, if I didn't see them in your hand, I would never remember. Cigarette papers. For change, he said, to cut down expenses, he said. It was the first time he ever bought them.
Did he buy any loose tobacco to go with them?
Let me see. Why? I don't think. He didn't ask me, so I figured he's got some already.
Okay. You can give me some now.
Oh, sure thing.
Hey, give me some matches, will you?
Sure. Help yourself. Say, what is it all of a sudden with you, Lieutenant? You look like you just swallowed the cat that ate the canary.
You're all right, Pop. And I'm going to fix you up.
Yeah?
Yep. To be a witness at a nice big murder trial. Free. I went back to the precinct, but Leffinger had moved him to another one over on the east side on account of the 24-hour detention law. That took more time to locate him, but that was one thing I had plenty of now. I was either in with what I had or I was out. And suddenly I felt tired. I felt tired as an old dog. I tried breakfast, but that didn't help much, so I went on over to the east side. Leffinger was right on deck, cranky as ever, but I could see he was worried. We had this guy pretty nearly 48 hours, and the cops don't like to break the law any more than the next guy.
Well, where you been all night, Bright Eyes? You look like you slept on a park bench.
I didn't sleep anyplace. I've been using my brains. Why did you leave word you were going to move him?
What's the difference? His next move is out.
His next move is a Raymond after what I'm going to show you.
Great. Great. I'm just in the mood for lantern slides.
Let's have him in, huh?
Yeah, bring him in, Johnson.
Okay, Captain.
Now, look, first I want you to watch how he rolls a cigarette.
What are we doing now, playing parlor games?
Just watch him, that's all. And remember, I found these cigarette papers in the pocket of his suit. The suit he wore the night he went to see Lombard.
Oh, I suppose he gassed him to death with cheap tobacco. Eh?
Here he is, Captain.
Oh, the Rover boys. You guys woke me up just to move me to another hideout. Why don't you get wise to yourselves? You know you're going to have to book me or turn me loose sooner or later.
All right. Forget it. We're turning you loose. All we want you to do is to sign a waiver that nothing happened to you in here.
Nuts, I sign nothing.
Hey, take it easy, will you? We got the guy that did it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Got nothing to worry about. We just don't want any suits for false arrest, that's all.
Yeah, well, you took the words right out of my mouth, copper, because my first stop after here is a lawyer.
Now, wait a minute. Let's talk this over. Smoke?
Nah, not one of them things.
Will you smoke these, don't you?
Yeah, sure.
Here's some tobacco. Go ahead, roll one.
Thanks.
That's not the way.
I'm a little out of practice.
A little out of practice, he says. Don't look to me like he'd ever rolled one before in his life. Is it to you, Cap?
All right, so send me to the chair for that.
Just the same, he bought these cigarette papers the night he went to see Lombard at the cigar store where he phoned, where he bought all his smokes. First time in 2 years he ever bought any. And no tobacco to go with him. And not a shred of loose tobacco in any of his pockets. Now, why do you suppose he bought those cigarette papers that night, huh?
You're telling it. I'm listening.
Are you listening, Coleman?
You're talking in your sleep.
I'll tell you why he bought them. Better than that, I'll show you why. Let me have your gun a minute, will you, Cap?
Yeah, sure.
That's a 38, right?
Yeah.
Same caliber as Coleman's gun?
Right.
All right. Now, here's a 32 caliber bullet. The same caliber as the slug that killed Lombard. Do you want to see it?
I know a 32 when I see it.
All right. Now, we take the 38 bullets out of your gun. Now we take this 32 bullet and about three of these cigarette papers. We double them over, we wrap them around the bullet. See? See how snug the 32 fits in your 38 gun now?
Well, I'll be a monkey.
Now watch. Now watch how a 38 gun will fire a 32 bullet. I'll put it in the baseboard over there. That's ballistics, Cap. How do you like it?
Ballistics. Ballistics?
You take ballistics, I'll take human nature every time. Three months later, Coleman went to the chair. Whether he took a cigarette from a copper or not before he died, I don't know. And I don't care.
Suspense. Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, Roma, America's favorite wines. This is Truman Bradley, bringing back to our microphone the star of tonight's suspense play, Howard Da Silva. My compliments, Howard, on a grand performance. Say, tell me, how did you like being on the side of law and order for a change? On the screen, I've seen you as a pretty tough character.
Truman, I much prefer to be law-abiding. Makes me more popular with my friends.
Well, here's something, Howard, that will make you even more popular with your guests. A gift basket of Roma wines from Roma, your host of the evening.
My thanks to Roma, Truman. This is my idea of real hospitality.
That's what your friends will say, Howard, when you treat them to the golden, amber, fragrant Roma California sherry in your gift basket. For Roma sherry, with its tempting nut-like taste, is the perfect first call for dinner, and served with nuts, fruit, cake, or any tasty snack. Roma sherry is a truly delightful wine for entertaining any time.
Right, Truman. Roma sherry is certainly a versatile wine.
Versatile is the word for Roma sherry, Howard, and extra good, too. For Roma sherry, like all Roma wines, gives you an important difference, an extra goodness in fuller bouquet, richer body, and better taste. And the best proof I can give you that Roma wines taste better
is the fact that more Americans enjoy Roma than any other wine.
Well, that's proof enough for me, Truman. And now who's on suspense next week?
Well, Howard, it's Claude Rains.
My favorite actor.
Yes, Claude Rains in a very unusual suspense story. Mr. Rains will be entirely alone, no other member of the cast. A real solo performance. The story will be a famous English study in terror, The Waxwork. And you'll want to hear what it feels like to spend the night in a museum haunted by the spirits of famous murderers of the past.
That I've got to listen to. Thank you and good night.
Howard De Silva appeared through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures and is currently being seen in their production Blaze of Noon. Tonight's suspense play was written by Robert Richards from the story by Cornell Woolrich. Next Thursday, same time, you will hear Mr. Claude Rains as star of Suspense.
Produced and directed by William Spear for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California. Buy your share of Easter happiness. Bring new life and hope to crippled children through Easter Seals. Buy Easter Seals today. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Radio Detective Story Hour. I'll be back next time with another drama of suspense.